The Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology presents a discourse with His Grace Swami Krishnapad, given at the House Blessing Ceremony, Washington, D.C., July 17, 1993, entitled Proper Gratitude Guarantees Constant Growth.
Everyone is trying so many things, going everywhere and everything except turning to Krishna. People are getting more into extracurricular life, more into intoxication, whether it's alcohol or drugs, and of course, literally having more mental breakdowns. And that has a lot to do with people not being able to cope because there's such emptiness due to a lack of spiritual nourishment. So, this is a very short one. This is, Dear Lord, teach me how to be properly grateful. Sometimes we all have a problem in appreciating what Krishna has already arranged. Many times we're always thinking about what we want to do, what we don't have, what we should have, and such a spirit that it minimizes being able to use what you do have so that the Lord is pleased and arranges to complement. Because by what he explained, Krishna says he maintains what we have and carries whatever person is actually in lack of. So why is there so much lacking? Krishna says he maintains what someone has, why are people losing something? And if he carries what we're lacking, then why are we lacking him? You know, why are we wanting? Is God bluffing? Or is it that we don't connect properly to be able to maintain what we have and then to launch ahead with whatever areas we're lacking in? The Lord has made a promise. He's made it very categorically and emphatically. So it's not that he was speaking this on the side. Saying, well, perhaps I will maintain something for you. Perhaps what you're lacking, I will supply something. But he said it's very powerful that he will maintain what we have and will supply what is lacking. If in fact we believe it. Believe it means that we put ourselves in a position to be able to receive it. When mankind or humankind, when we make our plans are never as great and as powerful as Krishna's plan can be for ourselves. Not even to say for the world in general, for the many, many universes, but even for each individual. We have the tendency of thinking that unless we do particular things, that we're not going to get a particular result. And so what happens is that we do so much manipulation and angling that Krishna fulfills our desires based on our angling. It's not always the best thing for us. But when we try to serve the Lord more in the spirit of unconditional service, then whatever plan that Krishna will bring to the individual will be far super to whatever the individual him or herself could have arranged given the best of the facilities that they have. Do you understand me? That we take the best of what we have available within our own grasp is nothing in contrast to what the Lord will arrange. We just kind of move out of the way. We're so much in the way trying to manipulate material energy, thinking that Krishna is not quite there. But because of that, we actually take away from what is available. It's like a little child goes to the mother or father and requests, you know, 50 cents. And if Brandon is going to give the kids $10, $20, go shopping, go buy something. But little girl's asking for 50 cents. With a particular thing in mind, what she wants, and is eager and intense about it, I want my 50 cents. So then, the parent gives the child $1 to the yoko. When in fact, you could have gotten much more. So we're proper, we get so much. Our headache then becomes not how to try to get something, but the headache becomes how to be able to have a sense of priorities about what you have, or how to organize what you have. When there's proper spiritualness, proper spiritual foundation, it's never a matter of trying to necessarily acquire something. It becomes more a matter of how to manage, how to take care, how to develop, how to expand what you already have. So in your own life, individually, collectively, if it's so much about trying to get something, it's spiritual importance. Here we're talking about being grateful because so many things we already have, if we appreciate them sufficiently, they will automatically expand into something else. That appreciation is not a small thing. It's easy to use something to do things mechanically, easy to take something for granted. And it's easy to think, okay, Lord, that's all right, but I got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this for myself. And then out of that, I'll find some way to do something for you. That's not so much different than material life. Even materialists, they do everything for themselves. When they're in some crisis, then they call out to God. Even sometimes the atheist, they do everything for themselves, and then they have an accident, or something serious happens to them, they oh, Lord, help. Even though they don't even want to think about God. So we don't want to be, and also to be so foolish, or to think so small. The Lord knows what everybody needs, and has a plan to deal with our real needs, to speed us up, to draw us in. But here's the problem. The problem is that our working overtime and doing what we want, it doesn't come out the same way if we did what Krishna wants, or what we supposed to need. So it all starts out, so first being grateful about what the Lord has already done. It's not that we have to think maybe God doesn't exist because if God really exists, then let God, you know, show us stuff. The Lord is already showing every day. So much that He's doing, so that He's doing. We take so much for granted. Even such a simple thing as the sun coming up and the moon coming up. Nobody in any factory is like Christmas, but time now for the moon, for the moon, not for the sun. Things just happen. So many miracles. Seed is put in the ground, flower comes up, vegetable comes. Seed is put in the womb, it's in some 8 months, 9 months, baby comes out. So many miraculous things all the time. We drink some water, we take some food, we don't even think about it. And what happens? It's digested. Huh? All of these things showing that somebody's in control, making something unusual happen. But it's already happening unusual around us. Anything wrong with us thinking and being ready for other unusual things to happen? It's not blind faith. Something is always there. Part of our everyday experience. So this is called, Dear Lord, teach me how to be properly grateful. We're sufficiently grateful. Watch out. There's more and more wonderful things to take with. We're not grateful, then also watch out, because more things be taken away. My dear Lord, Nityananda, I've been trying to thank you for your causeless mercy, but I'm so dull and ungrateful. It is because of you that I am chanting the holy names of God. As I look back at my life, I know I have no qualification to utter daily the sacred names of God. You know, it takes a lot of sufficiency, and a gallon of sufficiency, a lot of credit from previous lifetimes, to come to the platform to be regularly chanting the names of the Lord. So some of you even have trouble chanting, because your credit is a little weak. You can build it up just by putting more attentiveness to the process. Just like you're a sportsman, you may not be so good at certain events, but you were put out to do that event. Now, if you practice sufficiently, you can come up to that standard. So just to be able to be chanting the Lord's name is a great boon upon the living entity who is involved in such a thing. And such person has a lot to be grateful for, that they can be involved in such culture of devotion, of calling on God's name, the name of Krishna's name, attracting the Lord. You become much more active in that person's life. And the Lord allowing himself to become active by how he is given. Just like, you know, some people want to contact you. And a few people you give your telephone number to. They can catch you, they can call straight in and get you on the line. Most people you tell them, well, you know, maybe call you at work or something. You may or may not entertain your call. So, devotee chanting the Lord's name is arranged by the Lord. The Lord has arranged to some means to give you his confidential line. And say, okay, use it now. I'm available. You can reach me in this way. In a confidential line. Take advantage of it. With the same cause of mercy you have given me to chant japa every day, please extend it to teach me how to be properly grateful. Now look in your own mind and think, and the day go on, how much are you expressing gratitude, or how much are you expressing want and anxiety and frustration and feelings due to certain, bereftment? How much are you doing it? Take it and monitor it sometimes. Write down what you think, what you say during the day, what you do during the day, during the week. Get off the lazy platform. Right? Take notice of things and see where you need to work on more, or what you're really, your consciousness is really about. Sometimes we don't realize what our consciousness is about, that keeps bringing certain problems in our life. Because we have a theoretical conception about ourselves, but we don't take notice of what we think and what we say, and what we're experiencing, each day. What our wants are, what kind of a demands that we are having in terms or external. Just look at that. That will help us to know why we're stuck in something, why we are unhappy. Even sometimes, why are you even sick? Because all kind of thoughts have a counterpart on the physical body. Basically, sickness is mostly mental. The mental pattern then affecting the physical. There are even certain types of personality types that get cancer. Certain things happen usually around times that most people get cancer. Sickle cell. Pneumonia, this disease, that disease, all corresponding to the mental state. So there are also certain mental states that free a person from certain problems. There's a certain kind of mental state that frees you from certain fears. Certain type of mindset that frees you from doubt. Certain types of mindset that frees you from sexual agitation. Certain types of mindsets that feed you from greed. All kinds of things. There's a certain type of mindset that connects you with a particular problem or particular disease. It is pretty powerful, even though it's trite. that as a man thinketh, so he be. As you speak, or what you think about, be what you are. So write down what you think about. You'll see what basically kind of person that you are. Take notice. If you're not happy, what you see in a day and a week, work on changing. In order to change, you have to know what you need to change first. Otherwise, it's too speculative. Take notice of what things you need to work on, what things you need to change, and then go for those things to make a difference. Otherwise, you keep the same kind of baggage, do we say, same garbage. Even lifetime after lifetime. But it starts with first being grateful. And that allows you to draw a line of demarcation about what you have. And then you start using what you have to draw what you need. Rather than thinking about what you want, or what didn't happen, or what should have happened, or what could have happened, what the Lord should have done, and asking why the Lord didn't do, why the Lord didn't give you money, and gave other people who don't even worship their money. Why the Lord didn't give you children, didn't give you a husband, didn't give you a wife, and people don't even want children, they have some issues. People don't even want a man or woman, and they have a husband or wife. Why the Lord didn't give you a big house? If you had a house, you would do something nicer than most people. And so if you think about all those things, and you complain like that, that's part of the reason why the Lord didn't give it to you. Because you're always thinking the Lord owes you something. So, he's showing you that he doesn't owe you anything. And he's not giving you very much. Because you're thinking that you deserve it. So there's a way of being, of playing God, a way of minimizing God, by even thinking that we're so deserving, we're so holy. And the spirit of thinking we're so holy, and now the Lord owes us one. Because we prayed to him, we meditated, we fasted, we did this, we did that. Now the Lord, he owes us something. As if it is a great honor for the Lord to receive our association. Thank you, Lord, in Christianity. You know, I blessed you by giving you some attention, by giving you my association. I did this juggling, I did this austerity, I did this prayer, I did this good deed. So now that you have received my help, my care, my attention, because I don't normally give it. My everything about me is very valuable, so I've extended myself. Now you owe me something. So no wonder the Lord doesn't fulfill. If we do things in that spirit, then that's really minimizing the honor of God, or the greatness of God. It's another way of playing God ourselves. Because we're playing ourselves, really, as a sinner, and we're really still serving the Lord for something, and we're actually thinking that the Lord, you know, is honored, should be honored to be able to get some prayer from us. Or for us to do something for the Lord. But then who are we really doing it for? For ourselves. Not even for ourselves, because not for the atma, not for the soul. We're doing it for our crazy mind. My Lord, it is not that you are the original spiritual master. The scriptures declare that by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna, and by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. Say that every single day. What does it really mean? Those like myself could never get Krishna because we have no qualifications to get Guru. So in order to get Krishna, we have to get Guru, and Guru will get Krishna. But did it take qualifications to get Guru? Or get Guru, but do we understand Guru? All these things are a matter of being grateful that then ignites the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. You, however, have been so kind, you have allowed me to contact a first-class guru. It is divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. with this same causeless mercy. It's not just a matter of mercy, it's causeless. What's the difference? Mercy means with grace. It means care. It means, you know, a show of magnanimity. But causeless means that it's beyond what one is worthy of. Causeless means it's beyond normality. Not just normal. Not just an everyday on average affair. When we talk about the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of God, we're really talking about causeless mercy. Because despite some of our own attachments and incoherences, the Lord's mercy still comes through if we allow it. It comes through more than proportion to our receptivity. But if we're not constantly grateful, then the Lord's mercy will not be drawn, will not be attracted. So one, it's great mercy to be able to be chanting always the holy name of the Lord. You shouldn't be doing it mechanically or grudgingly or just fixing it in according to the end of the day, because you just have to do this because you made a pledge. We do have to do it at the end of the day. We should be in anxiety thinking, oh, when will that time come upon me when I can just call on the Lord by His confidential number? Having called, huh? Like somebody you like to talk with. So you're in anxiety. The day is almost gone. You haven't called that person yet. You think you're waiting for a chance to call the person. Once you call, you feel good. You're talking to the person. There's some communication going on. Huh? It's an upliftment. So every time we call on Krishna, it should be like that. But all hell is going around us. But you call that dear one, you feel better, huh? Everything is going wrong in the house. You're cooking, you burnt your food, you're trying to clean, you don't have everything you need. You got more stuff to clean than you realize. You're trying to do this, do that. You weren't able to do it properly. So many things. And you call someone, and it's like a breath of fresh air hitting from the person. And just by talking to them, they help you to get balanced. You feel less disturbed, less scattered. What does it say about calling on the Lord? When all around us, all hell is going on. All things are out of control. How much more important it is to call on the Lord, especially in such times. But if we're connecting with the Lord, but then wondering why He's slow in doing what we already asked Him to do before, without looking to see about ourselves, have we changed? We want the Lord to do His stuff. But what about us? You, however, have been so kind to allow me to contact first person. Now, that was causeless mercy. With that same causeless mercy, you've already shown you can give out causeless mercy. The Lord has already shown. So we know, you got the causeless mercy, Lord. It's like somebody, has been doing something before, and you know that they can do it. You call upon them again, they say, well, I don't know, but you know they can do it because you've already done it. Well, there's enough proof of Krishna showing what amazing things that He does. We don't have to have blind faith or weak faith. For the Lord has already shown what is accessible, what is possible. So therefore, we ask, with that same causeless mercy that you gave to me to accept Him, please extend it to teach me how to be properly grateful. Number three, my dear Lord, Nityananda, and this is sometimes it's explained that you cannot get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is considered the original guru and is most merciful. So we're talking about mercy and causes mercy and being grateful. So who other is more appropriate to make the appeal to than the most grateful, merciful, original spiritual master? My dear Lord Nityananda, it is by your love that you have always sent first-class association. I am a fifth-class devotee who would never be able to qualify to associate with pure devotees. You've seen how sick I was, have arranged to send me specialists every time to deal with very serious diseases. This says sometimes sickness is there. The normal doctor has trouble trying to evaluate it. And a person has to go to a specialist, someone who has seemingly some extra expertise in that area to analyze the particular problem with the attention to solving that particular problem. So when the disease is very intense, then there's a need for more intense help and aid. So the disease that the divinity has is very, very intense. The false ego is very intense. The attachment to the mundane is very, very, very chronic. So it cannot be solved with just general practitioners. It's by a general process of religiosity. It doesn't go deep enough to make a serious change of consciousness that's necessary. You got a big problem, you have to attack it in a big way. Not just some patch of attempt. So the problems that we have, in many cases, they've been trailing us for many, many lifetimes. And we can't just have some little simple solution, some aspirin, some band-aid, deal with a chronic disease. For many of the techniques of general spirituality, of general religiosity, just like a band-aid, just some quick adjustment, it doesn't really deal with the symptom of the disease, inside the real core of the disease. There's only with some symptoms. So you have arranged specialists, and the Lord will send the Lord again. Maintains what we have and carries what we lack. So the disease is very intense, and you want that disease eradicated, the Lord will send you specialists, will send you high-level associations to go deeper and get those things done. But if you don't want some of those subtle weeds, if you don't want some of those attachments taken away, the Lord will send you a general practitioner who will give you a feel, give you a this or that until you come back. Business as usual. And Jesus is what they want. They don't want to hear how to work on themselves. They don't want to hear about the intensity of their disease. There are some people who are very sick, but they don't want to hear that they're sick. So first they avoid going to the doctor. They pretend like everything is okay until they get so chronic that they can barely function. Then they have to go to the doctor, and then the problem is so great, sometimes it's beyond rectification. Or they go and you get advice about what to do, but then they're lazy about taking care of themselves, and then they just gradually deteriorate more and more until their body is beyond repair. They just literally die off. So Krishna is not lying. He says the main thing we have to carry what we lack. So if there's a need for a specialist, he will connect us. Sometimes people say, well, where's my higher association? Or where, you know, when the student's ready to Google, we're here. You know, where's the Google? Where's this? Where's that? According to what you need, the Lord will arrange. So if you're getting something that seemingly is not making you happy, then again, you have to take a closer look at the inventory of what do you think about during the day most of the time? What do you think about during the week most of the time? You're mainly thinking about what you don't have, why you don't have, why you're suffering, why you're sad, why this person did that, why someone didn't arrange this, why someone didn't arrange that. You get more of the same thing. Change those thoughts. First, embarrass yourself to see how much you think like that. Write it down. If you don't want to write it down, put it in the tape recorder. Right now I'm thinking like this. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And I just thought, I was thinking that I don't like anybody. Nobody in this temple, nobody in this house cares about me. I don't care about them. They're smiling at me, they're pretending, not pretending even more. Sit down, what you really think? You see? I was asked to do this, and I just felt like shouting, saying, what? Do it yourself. Sit down. This house coming across in your mind. And then later, play it back, and you'll see. Well, you're following for you. You'll be your biggest teacher. Like sometimes devotees chant really bad rounds. And they don't realize how bad they're chanting around. One day they chant and listen to themselves on a tape recorder. Everybody should from time to time listen to yourself chanting japa on a tape recorder. And you hear yourself saying, Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare 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 How it in. So we need to listen to ourselves sometimes. Some of the thoughts is going through the mind, going through the consciousness. Put it on or write it down. And then put it aside for a day and go back and look at it. And see what's really going on. Huh? In the inner world there. That later manifesting out. You think this person doesn't like you. What did he say to you? Why did you say that? You're looking at everybody thinking, I could enjoy him. I could enjoy her. Oh, I could enjoy him better. I could enjoy him. Huh? Look at the mind. Most of you got a little small tape recorder. Huh? You're curious. Oh, I was thinking I could really enjoy that one. You play it back out of the week. You'd be shocked to see. Within a few hours, one day time. Put both in the mind. Huh? See somebody walking down, you think, what? I can make him a better wife than that woman. What did he see in her? Huh? And I go through all kind of stuff in one day. And what it is going through is what now we're carrying with us. We're carrying all that stuff. And then we sit and see the deity, we sit down and chant, we wonder why we don't feel happy. We read something, we wonder why we don't have realization about it. Because you had all those other things, dominant, forefront in the economy. And then we say, Krishna, help me. How are you going to get through all that stuff? Huh? Putting a ball in the block. Like you're saying, Krishna, help me. And you slam another door. You close another door. He says, come on, help me. Somebody help me, save me. And he's closing doors and putting locks on. Come on, somebody come in. Get me out of here. And you lock again, you lock again, lock. Where's the Lord? How can the Lord be kind to me? I mean, doesn't he even know? Doesn't he realize how much I'm worthy? Didn't he take notice of how many times I called his name? What's he waiting for? Maybe he has favors. Maybe that's what it is. God has favors. You have to find the secret, huh? How to bribe him. He has favors, yes. In a sense. Bhakti Vatsalya, those who are real bhaktis, then they are taking away so much of the stuff. So they experience the Lord now. But first, they honestly deal with their situation. They honestly take notice where their own faults are. They honestly are disgusted by all of the ambiguities in their life. They honestly are bothered by anything that distracts them from being able to be more devoted, from being able to serve others more. They actually feel pain that they cannot serve others more. That's a devotee. Not someone who avoids, not someone who does grudging, but who actually feel pain that they cannot be able to sacrifice inconvenience themselves. Here, not to just do to help somebody, but they feel pain that they cannot inconvenience themselves to help somebody. Look at your tape recorder, see how much you think. Listen to yourself, honestly. Most cases, you don't think yourself. We are our own greatest enemy. Enemy is not out there. Enemy is not forces of oppression, elites, this, that, the criminals, that, all these things. No, yeah. Enemy is right here. Inside, your mind, with all this stuff. The enemy is all the senses out of control. That's the enemy. Let's go for it. See what the enemy has. My dear Lord, every day I read and I hear about the most amazing pastime. Every day we read something. We'll hear something. Most amazing pastime about the divine couple. I do not understand such pastimes, nor am I qualified to hear about them or even to speak about them. You have, however, seen how eager I am to hear and speak nonsense, so you are gradually replacing my desire to hear and discuss mundane things with hearing and speaking about the Lord. And when you're speaking more about spiritual phenomena and about the pastimes of the Lord, his devotees, you don't have time to engage in gossip. You don't have time even to hear somebody else's gossip. Even if it's not coming from you, you don't even have time to hear somebody else. Somebody starts some gossip, he's like, ooh. You just immediately want to turn off of it. Huh? It's like noise to the ears. Isn't that, you know, the microphone is out of, it's not working proper, make this strange sound, yeah. Or some people like, they really stir when somebody's like, you know, scratching on on glass, or scratching on the ground, makes them body feel funny. Well, messages that are not about glorifying the Lord, Krishna Katha, should come like noise to the conscience, to the ears. And immediately, you had a microphone going a little strange immediately. It's like, fix it. In the microwave. Immediately, when that kind of sound vibrations in the atmosphere, the conscience should immediately realize this is poisonous. This is unnatural. This is dangerous. Immediately, one checks out such conversation. Either let the person know, don't come bringing that kind of stuff to me. Because if people bring something to you, it means that's something about how they think about you. Somebody who wants to gossip to you all the time, it means it's how they think about you. Somebody who keeps bringing up negative things to you, it means it's how they think about you. They think that you will entertain stuff, so therefore they bring such to you. Which means that they don't think very much about you. Someone who you think is great, would you bring small matters to them? Would you bring so many negative things to them? You feel out of place. You feel another, it's another conversation. But someone who you feel, that's the level that you're on, the level of your relationship, You immediately go, yeah, and guess what he did today? Guess what she did today? Guess what about this, about that? That means that's how the person is seeing you, and how you're seeing somebody else. Because the kind of conversation you have with someone says a lot about the particular relationship or the particular involvement that you and that person have or what you share. Somebody who you have great respect for, you would try to share something wonderful with them and receive something wonderful from them. Even though it's important to you, you may give it to somebody with you. So, don't be somebody's garbage collector. Huh? It comes my man, I can dump the garbage on. Huh? be the person who you have value about yourself and others have value about you. And people are trying to connect with you about something higher. Trying to give you something higher, trying to get something higher from you, trying to share something higher. So be the person that when you come around, you remind people of the garbage, so they come to garbage and take this. Garbage man is coming, trying to get ready to go. You see the garbage, run around and make sure you get all the garbage out and take it. Make sure you get all the garbage. Go away with the garbage. But hearing about the fast times of the Lord and engaging and thinking about agitating the mind about how to glorify the Lord and His servants more. And that is high level associates. So every day we read about the most amazing pastimes of the divine couple. We do not understand these pastimes, nor we qualify to hear about them or to speak about them. But you have harvested how eager we are to talk about nonsense, but you've given us a chance to replace some of that nonsense. So you're gradually replacing my desire to hear and discuss mundane things with hearing and speaking about the Lord. With that same causeless mercy, you've already shown it. So now we're asking for it, for you to extend it. It's already there. We know it's there. You've already shown it. Now we're just asking, extend it more. Or let me connect more with it. You have given to allow me to hear about the divine couple. Now please extend it to teach me how to properly to be grateful. Number five. My dear Lord, it is now that you have given me so many disciples. I'm telling you to write. So if I tell you to write, then I'm a hypocrite if I don't write also. Right? The qualified emissaries, especially for the renouncing, they can write their realization. Writing is the big madanga, like you're playing the drum, saying out the sound, the vibration. So I'm asking you to write in your retainment quarters, and write some things down so that you make yourself accountable to you. If you're not accountable to you, you're not going to be accountable to anybody else. Sometimes our body's not accountable to anybody. They do things haphazardly, whimsically, because they're not accountable to themselves. They don't care about themselves sufficiently. They don't know themselves sufficiently. So therefore, how can they be accountable when they don't know what even they have to be responsible about? They don't know the field of activity that they're supposedly dealing with, overseeing, trying to grow with, trying to maintain. So it will be an inherent weakness. We don't have a sense of better understanding about what we feel, what we are, what we really are thinking about, what really our priorities are. You know what your priorities are? And after you go through a week of that, and just look close and see where the majority of your thoughts are. It doesn't have to be a week, it can be one day's time. In one day's time, you can see what your real priorities are. And you'll be shocked to see how much your Krishna consciousness lifts up. Because you'll see how much your thoughts and your actions are about other things that are literally mundane. And then you'll sneak a little Krishna into the side. You call it Krishna consciousness. My dear Lord Nityananda, you give me so many disciples and so many facilities to use in serving my spiritual master. I do not properly take care of your gifts. Sometimes I'm whimsical in what I do. It's like the last month I've been on some of you really heavy about bad use of time, about mistakes. Because when you make mistakes, you make extra work for yourself. And then you have to see how to patch up that thing, how to adjust the external, and also your conscience gets zapped when you make a mistake. And so you move to the next thing with less potency. So it actually makes more work. It gives Maya a greater chance to come through. It causes you to minimize what you can do for yourself and do for others. Sometimes we think, but that's what does it got to do with spirituality? Like a Prabhupada going to walk sometimes or moving around, he would see even see somebody else or someone down the street. the water hose is going on. He would stop, go over there and turn the water hose. Not even his job, not even his water. Miles is paying the bill, their houses, their water. But for him, he's looking at it as a waste of Christian energy. He's concerned about somebody else wasting the Lord's energy. Somebody else not properly being attentive to what Krishna has given them. And out of feeling pain and love for the people and love for the Lord, it is a natural desire to do something to make the situation better or to rectify it. He goes over and he turns around. Not that well. My own problem. What I have to do with that? See myself as servant of others, doctors that I've gone about. You say, Prabhu. You realize every day we're calling someone and saying, You're my master. We say that, we mean it, it means I'm your servant. How can I do something to help enhance your consciousness? What do you really mean? And by doing something that enhances your consciousness, automatically my consciousness will be enhanced. First, my consciousness will be enhanced because I'll be thinking about positive things. And I'll be focused and locked into positive things. And then I will intensify my environment because what I put out will then come back to me. And when I give you my garbage, when I give you your garbage, when I have a bigger garbage pile, give me the garbage in your house, in your room. I give you the garbage in my room. Put it all together, we got a big garbage pile. We all got to look at it, somebody got to take out. Somebody got to do it. But if we get rid of all that stuff, then we don't burden each other. When the gifts come, when Krishna provides, we have to see how we're using it, what are we doing. Sometimes I'm whimsical in what I do with such valuable gifts. And sometimes I even doubt their value. Instead of taking all away or giving me less, even sometimes give me more. With that same cause and mercy, that you have given me so many assistance and various facilities, please extend it and teach me how to be properly grateful. Because that is called His mercy. The idea that the spiritual master wants to serve his spiritual master. Or the idea that a devotee wants to serve his spiritual master. So the more that you want to serve your guru, the more unequivocally, understand, categorically, positively, God will give you. That's a great mystery. If next month or next year I double my desire to glorify, to want to glorify my spiritual master, all opulences, assets, facilities will be more than double. But Krishna doesn't give you what you deserve, He actually gives you more. So if somehow I could intensify my desire to serve my guru like twice, if I could double it. If I could double it, if I could strengthen the desire, you know, I could double it to that extent. Then Krishna would give me facility to serve my guru in arithmetic proportion. Don't believe it. Try it. But first you've got to notice what you think about it and what you don't think about it. See if you're actually trying. And you can try something in a vague state of consciousness, but then by what you think and what you do, you're not really trying it. You're saying, hey, look here, Guru, why do you do this to me? Maybe look here, Guru, why do you take away this desire? Maybe look here, Guru, why don't he work on the inner plane and make this thing right? And what does that have to do if he doesn't have mystic power to make things right for me? Bad. That's what I thought I got a Google for. He can make things right. Make me happy. I mean, I call his name, offer him flowers, supposed to make me happy. He said nothing is free. So my flower I gave him is not free. My flower had all kind of desires written on it. He took it. So he's supposed to do something about that. Dear Lord, so instead of taking away or giving me less, give me more. The same causes mercy that you have given me so many assistants and various facilities, please extend it. Teach me how to be properly grateful. Like today when we were talking with Chastiwai at the temple, we saw how he has like about 7, 8, you know, main, devotees for a huge project. And we came and he was fixing the speaker, fixing the lights, and he was doing the milking the cow, and then in some days he has to do help with the cooking, he milks the cow, he cuts the grass, he does the repairs, and then he has to chat with a few other devotees, and he has to take care of 3 kids, and then he takes care of his own 3 kids. I mean, amazing. Sometimes what one person may have to do. Well, because he's doing that, he remains fixed, inevitably, Krishna will send help. You don't try to get people to help you and then decide you're going to do something. You have to do what you have to do, and Krishna will send. It's like yesterday, it was some time yesterday, I think yesterday, I was talking with Chintamani and Jagannath. So they're putting together with so many others a package of how to try to print the volumes of transcribed tapes. And so they're thinking of contacting, you know, some very famous people, this, that, that, just to get them to come forth. But I told them, I said, look, first understand that everybody stops. In general, this material world, they will be here. So people will do something if they feel it's something in it for them. Doesn't matter how wealthy, how much money they have, how much fame, they still want to know, how I'm going to be more famous. I'm going to have more money. So unless they feel there's some specific thing that is going to enhance something about their own lot, they will not take notice. So first, any letter, any package presented has to deal with what you're making available to the person that's going to enhance something about them. Otherwise, you tell them this is about love, this is about God, this is about world peace, this is about helping people. So what? Even a philanthropist, so what? They want to know, yes, this will help people, and I will be famous for helping the people. How many plaques I'm going to have? How many people are going to chant my glory? This is because without transcendental connection and realization, there is selfishness to the man. So one must know that, you know, how to structure that. The other thing is to realize nobody helps you seriously when you really need the help the most. That's the transcendental context. Most times, when you really need help, people start running from you. They give you that sympathy when you really need it. They avoid you. Because nothing in it for them. They don't want you to add to their misery. They got enough misery themselves. But when you don't need the help, and when you really don't need it, everybody wants to come to be around you. You have to realize, whenever you're doing something, you have to present yourself that you don't really need the help, but if somebody wants to participate and to enjoy or to experience something, some benefit for themselves, come on. Am I explaining them how when we started interviewing? The first program we did on TV, on radio, I talked about the Institute before we even had one single workshop. Some people thought it was a little strange. First I went on had the Catholic TV show. The boys at home looking, what are you talking about? Swami is saying, call the number and there's this going on, this going on. What are you talking about? Because once people want to be a part of something that is in motion, and they don't want to hear you say, I'm trying to do this, come and help me. I got this idea, but if you come help me, it'll happen. They put this person in the loser. This is a dreamer. But once your dreams are happening, the people want to plug in and they want to experience. In other words, people are cheaters. Huh? They want you to do the work, then they want you to ghost in and to enjoy. You have to give them something, let them know. This is happening, and this may happen in the future. This is already happening. Come on and enjoy it. Take part in it. There's some benefits like this, like this, like this, like this. And then people will focus. I first started going on radio and television in Africa. I was going as proud as if I had 20,000 disciples and 10,000 buildings and this, that. People, they pick up on, I'm moved. They say, yeah, I want to find out about that society. I want to go see that man. I want to go to this place. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to read that book. He talked about that book and said, I want to read it for you. You tell people, everybody's suffering. I think you'd like to read this book. This book can help you. I mean, I read it now, and I think it's one, I mean, I'm trying to, who's going to buy it? Selfman tells you, this car is wonderful, I have it myself, I always tell people to get it, my children got it, I had it for 10 years, it works good, you should check this line. Then you become a little interested in yourself. Because you want to feel that what somebody's doing, what somebody's got, something about it is okay, and therefore, you want some part of it because of what you feel is doing for someone else. So we should never go as beggars. Look at beyond nothing. You see what Julie's speaking. You never go in that spirit because beggars don't get anywhere. But some little small, they just give them small considerations. So as we design the package, we must first be ready to make something happen if nobody outside helps. Must be ready to build a community if you get no extra funds. Must be ready to get land. If even no good deal comes through, you must be ready to get something. Must be prepared. You must be ready to make something happen, even if you have to do it yourself. If none of you were here to help me preach to serve Prabhupada, you wouldn't stop me. I did it sometimes by myself. Sometimes with 5 people, sometimes with 2 people, sometimes with 100, then a couple of thousand. But you must be ready that if nobody helps you, you must have a plan to do what you have to do. Then things happen. And whatever you're doing is based on how many people are going to help you. It is going to be very, very gradual and very important. You have to be determined. I'm not what you call a GBC for Washington. In terms of our international movement, I'm not the administrator here. But I wanted to do a restaurant, so I started a restaurant. I wanted to do I started this. You don't wait for people to drop money in your hand, for men who come, women who come, and then decide. I didn't wait for you to come before I started writing. The book we're publishing now, I started that thing 6 years ago. Now that you come, now we'll get it published. But it wasn't there. Didn't wait. But then, people come. Now, there's people to type it. Now, people to put on the computer. Now, somebody to campaign, getting it sold. Now, somebody to get the money to get it printed. You don't wait for that. Then, decide, okay, all that's there. Now, we can start doing something. You'll be waiting and procrastinating forever. Like I was telling you some class last week, don't wait until you have enough money, because you're never going to have enough money. When do you have enough manpower? You're never going to have enough manpower. You have to jump in and do something, and as you do that, Krishna will, again, maintain what you have and supply what you like. Don't wait around thinking, well, when I get a husband, I'm really going to be fired up. I mean, you're going to see how fired up I'm going to be. I'll be a new person. I'm never going to get out of my way. As soon as I get the right wife, then all this other stuff all around me, bothers me all the time, doesn't going to bother me anymore. Because it doesn't happen like that. You have to do the right and the necessary thing, and then things will center around your kind of energy, so the Lord will see it. So sometimes we don't have sufficient money, sufficient manpower, sufficient this, sufficient that. We have to think, with what little we have, how can we get the maximum effect from that? So now, we don't have ability to go to this convention, this concert, this program, this thing, that thing. So now we're doing the plan of getting more of the written word out so that we reach so many people. And then what will happen? Then you won't have this thing of trying to book a TV program, trying to book a radio program, trying to book this or that. No, no. People will call and will want to have someone from the institute to come to give a workshop, to give a lecture, to do this, to do that. When people feel that there's something about you and they want to receive you. When you're just out on a begging circuit, then you are just going to attract people who are ready to accommodate beggars. There ain't no time for you. But when they feel that there's something about you or something you have, they want to connect with it in some particular way. So, do that. Don't wait for something to happen. Act on what you have. Act on using what you have to the maximum. Don't wait for people to do things for you. Do the best with what you have and see what, you know, what the Lord will do. And always remember, you get so much help when you don't need it. You don't need it. You'll get so many people helping you. Help you on every level, even offer you money. You take this money, invest it for me. When you don't need it. When you really need it, help is not there unless something really more spiritual. Help is not there. How many times you have so many friends and you get sick or you get down and then you see people don't call you like they used to? Huh? They don't respond to you the same way. But once things are going good for you, everybody's there. Trying to contact. Oh yeah, I know such and such. I know her. Huh? Everybody wants to show others how they know you, because you have something that they want to be with. They want to, you know, they want to connect with. I mean, if you look in the last 3 weeks, you've had almost every 2 days different visitors coming. Because if you do something, it sends out a certain energy, a certain force, and it automatically draws. When you're not doing anything, then what happens? People want to run away from you. Now you say they want to be a part of, they want to run away. They feel, this is a loser. They feel this place is too dry. This place is too, you know, remorseful. This place is two things. Read the last one here, a little later. My dear Lord Nityananda, by your causeless mercy, I have been given so much, heard so much, and have experienced so much. See, almost every lecture I give you techniques. I hope you use them, and hope you listen to them sometimes. I'm not doing it just to be performing, or just to do it for, some kind of show. I want you to apply it, and I want to apply it, and I want to see how it works on you and see how it creates a better environment where we all are more accountable to our great predecessors. Because every person's thought is bound by the atmosphere. And it's causing a certain quality of collective consciousness. So what am I saying? I understand as a guru, as a servant of my guru, and especially those disciples, I don't want your garbage. I want you to give me the garbage offered to my spiritual master. I don't want you having garbage that causes other people not to be able to take advantage because it's so much crowded with garbage. In the house, people live in the same house. Whatever happens in the house, in the atmosphere, everybody's got to participate in something. So why be in your house and have to increase your misery because of the crazy atmosphere? There's nothing to be miserable about. You think about what's going on in the world. So don't increase your misery in your immediate environment by the stuff that you deal with and the stuff that other people are putting out on you. As I said the other day, if you were in any environment and it's not about giving and receiving, it's to you. Any environment you're in, if you're not giving somebody some knowledge and you're not receiving some knowledge, you are wasting your time and you are bringing all kinds of unnecessary strain and pain and disturbance in your life. Anybody you would, if you're not giving them something, I'm talking about spiritual, if you're not receiving something, it's a waste of time. Relationships didn't exist. Remember that. My Lord Nityananda, your cause is mercy. I have been given so much, hurt so much, or experienced so much in relationship to spiritual phenomena. But what is my position? I give back very little. I challenge all that I hear. I doubt all of my experiences. And then I have the arrogance to request for more mercy. Because we challenge everything that the Lord gives us. We doubt everything. And then we ask the Lord, you know, to give us more. I do not know how long you will continue to tolerate me. Maybe you can see this. You're going to stop. I'm in you now. I do not know how long you will continue to tolerate me, or if you have already given up considering that I'm a useless, disgraceful recipient of your causeless grace. It is bad enough that I am so personally ungrateful, but my example can influence others to be as ungrateful as I am. When somebody is ungrateful, or somebody is trifling, or somebody is whimsical, you see, it actually is requesting somebody else to be like that. Because you are acting as a role model for somebody. Everybody. As I deserve nothing, for I continue to show how unworthy I am of your kindness, but so I will not recruit others to be as stubborn and foolish as myself, once more, with all intensity, I beg you that just as you have previously given such causeless mercy regularly in the past. Keep in mind that the Lord is always showing how He's given mercy, so it's not a big thing to extend that mercy for one to be able to get more. For the sake of others, please extend it just once more to teach me how to be properly grateful. A desperate request from one of your most ungrateful servants, the beggar. So this is just, they say, this hot off the computer. She just did this off the computer 10 minutes before coming over here. These are reflections dealing with trying to make God, make Krishna more real in one's life. Don't just go day to day chanting, reading, working, doing this, doing that. You just go day after day after day. No. Krishna's flute is sounding right now. Krishna is dancing right now, the divine dance. Krishna's devotees are in maximum, extreme delight in the spiritual field. It is unnatural not to experience the word unnatural. So it means we have to work on removing those things that's causing the unnatural. And we have to stop thinking how we have to do this and do that to try to become self-reliant. We have to realize that we are already self-reliant but are kidding ourselves so that we are distracting from what we are. We're distracting ourselves from what we are. Yesterday's meditation was just one of those times. Or a special meditation yesterday. It basically dealt with an intense examining of like an embarrassment of why we're not being that. We have to put pressure on ourselves. Nobody is going to help you to become a serious devotee if you don't have a serious desire. Nobody's going to help you to know God if you don't really want to know the Lord. You just hear stuff and you just become angry. You just be thinking, okay, I'm talking about that same stuff again. Why don't we think about all these wonderful facts? Why don't we think about this? Why don't we think about this scripture? Why never talk about that? Sometimes we just think about golf clubs. We're expensive. We think, why are they always talking about you, not your body? Huh? Book after book after book. Where's the nectar? We realize that the nectar would start coming. Nectar would happen, and nectar would be there in the realization of what spiritual master really is. Huh? Prabhupada would elect you. And some of you would be falling asleep. Because his lectures, some of his lectures were just addressing this basic point. Because there's a tendency that people want the guru to do it for you. And you want the association with the Lord, and you want the greater realizations without paying the price. What's that called? It's called cheating. We must ask ourselves in a serious way, why do I keep stopping myself? Why do I keep cheating myself? Why do I keep with these doubts? Why do I keep these fears? Why do I hold on to this stuff that I know I'm losing? And then deal with that. So take this tape recorder, listen to your thoughts, write down your stuff. And then be honest enough that when you hear it there, that you address it. You don't just take the tape and throw it away. Start seeing what's there. So maybe there's a few short questions when you take the time. Or is it possible that, well, we'll take a few questions. Anyone?
Yes. Can you explain what to be grateful for them to do well? We have to thank Krishna for whatever we have. And we have to get out of the way.
Right. We start from thank you.
And we have to be in a mode of thinking that we are deserving.
Mm-hmm. Thinking that what you have you don't deserve. Just considering that whatever good things you do have, affirming that you didn't quite deserve that, but the Lord arranged. So you're really grateful about what the Lord arranged, rather than thinking about what you don't have.
But how do you really get out of the way to
By practice. By practice. By hearing, and then by practice. And then things begin to unfold. Something happens. Get some truth in it.
You know, how much time, you know, I can't take it.
Sometimes it's the only way that we can break a pattern. We have to ride that pattern until it beats us and beats us and beats us. And then we decide, oh, maybe I should think a little different or act a little different. So sometimes it's there. Does anybody have any trouble about something interfering in their life? You write me, you ask me, I'll tell you right away if you want to hear it. The question is, in most cases, you all hear it. But then the question, what do you do after you hear it? That's why sometimes we say when you have a particular problem, you ask for advice, and you also write it down, because sometimes it's not what you thought you wanted to hear, then you won't take it seriously. With your own mind or instructions to come. So, see, the path of devotion is much easier than what it seems. We make it complicated. It's actually much easier. Because when you analyze it, the highest servants of the Lord are actually, you know, just simple people. And they have the greatest sense of realization and love and happiness. They're just simple people. And the greatest associate of the Lord is a gopi. And they're just simple. Not foolish. But they're just so pure and dependent on getting the Lord's love. So the Lord gives them all the love. You know, especially, you know, we mention sometimes as part of the Western scholarship and Western cosmology that something has to be very difficult before we take it as being like anyone. But even secular, even so that they know, that they say the best thing in life are free, that the things that are most essential are not complicated. And they are more available than we think. Anyone else? But see, sometimes there's no other way. Sometimes we grow by having to. This is the average person. They grow from pain. You know? It's like, I'm paining so much. I'm paining so much. You put your hand in front of you. Oh, it hurts so much. You put it in again. Oh, it hurts. You put it back again. Like that. And after a while we think, so much pain. That's painful there. I mean, it's just something that, but it changes. Because there's a part of life now that is making people think that to feel pain is good. There's certain things that people do now to feel pain. And there are thousands of people who are becoming masochists. To becoming masochists. And you see from the violence perpetuated on other people that there's millions of people who become sadists, who enjoy inflicting pain on others. So we can get bombarded by that without realizing. The most popular movies now, somebody's going through some pain. Somebody's inflicting some pain on someone else in some way. People say, wow, that was a nice movie. You know? Because it's what excites you. That's really unfortunate.
Earlier you mentioned how we are afraid to let God arrange our life for us. And I can relate to that because I myself have a lot of fear of that if I don't do it, you know, the worst is going to happen, and step out of fear on that faith. And I want to know what's the major cause of that lack of willingness, which I don't see many human beings who really live by faith in God. So what is the major reason that is not so? Or reason?
That's one of the reasons, because there's not enough role models. Because we do get influenced by things that are around us that are dominant. Because there's not so much dominant case of the people who really depend on the Lord. So we don't take it quite as serious. The other reason is that since we live so much on externals, it's easier to do the simple things because it gives some immediate gratification, but later we'll come to it. Keep in mind that the simple things in the world are more accessible now. Much easier to grab hold of, much easier to identify. So it's one is more prone to do that which is detrimental. Because everybody else is doing it. Because less and less of an understanding to think. But because of that, we gotta constantly remind ourselves of kind of shake off stuff. The psychologist gotta remind ourselves, oh, I'm in this crazy world. I'm in this crazy society. I'm in this crazy thing. I'm in this crazy office. You gotta remind you, you know. Well, you start thinking, you know, you start thinking like people think. You're in the office working, and people are doing funny stuff. This person is smiling, he hates this one. This person is trying to sabotage this person. This person is trying to get, trying to get this person's position. All that's going on. This one is trying to set up this one to get some favors. He's trying to be with this person's wife, this person's husband. All that's going on. You gotta be dealing with that every day. You gotta remind yourself sometimes. I'm not a party.
Sometimes
when we see ourselves particularly making a big endeavor for something to happen, it's not necessarily divine. In some cases, not. Because the real divine things, they kind of come upon you. You know, that is a miracle. The real divine things, you put out some effort, and then it comes upon you. Even greater than your effort. That's when you can know that. It's actually divine. When it just comes about, even comes about, based on your endeavor and you get it, not necessarily divine. You could be Krishna just facilitating your desire for another thing you have to work on. Just to learn something from that and to experience pain from that to go on to something else. But when it's divine, you just do the thing that's right, and then Krishna brings situations upon you. And that shows that it's more of a blessing. And it's something that's bestowed, by the Lord's calling.
Well, I was just thinking, what you said, is it not that, like in the previous ages, it's easier to be humble, it's easier to actually see God in everything, because people's lives were very simple. But now, the modern civilization, it's making people to feel they are very, very advanced, and in the course of advancement, they become more complicated, and then in the course of complication, they become useless. They cannot even, take the mercy. If the mercy is even there before them, the costless mercy is there, they cannot even recognize it, and that is causing so much confusion all over the world now, because we're following a civilization that is void of God and making you feel the center and problematic.
In general, but then there's another side of it. It's like the person who's in the village, simple life, often may be more naturally God-conscious. But sometimes the person in the village is just thinking about getting to the big city. And their whole life is somehow get to the big city,
get a good job, or go to England, go to America, get a good education. They're so intoxicated by this. So sometimes the simplicity helps the individual to not get so much bothered by so many things. But sometimes the simplicity just causes the person to have so many, many more wants that they need to have, they want to have fulfilled. Some ways it's necessary, because in some ways you really can't be detached until you have something and you don't use it. I mean, if you have something and then you're not attached to it. You don't really know you're detached until you have it, and then it's a chance to see what is the mindset when you have it. So in one sense, nobody's really detached until certain things are available for them, but they choose not to make it a priority. Because you may say you're detached, but then once you get something, you get certain things, you may find that you're not really detached. You may say you're detached because of this or that, but then wait until someone gets that. And then listen. So let somebody give you a lot of money, give you options, give you this, give you that. Then you can see, if you're really detached. Somebody may say that they're detached or they're trying to be detached. But then let the right deal come through and give up their Christmas. Or somebody else. Or somebody yelled me, let the phone be detached. But let the right type of woman come and see how detached they are. The demigods, they play games like that. Sometimes they the so-called yogi. It's a big yogi with big power. I think he's a big man. And they will send a woman from the heavenly kingdom. They will say, let's see what the problem is. So the real sense of detachment is not just in trying to be detached and thinking to be detached, or not in avoiding something, but it's actually having it and then seeing what you do with it when it's around. That's the real sense of detachment. You can say detached from money, but then let the money deal come. Then you see sometimes people who are so kind, they didn't have anything. They share whatever they had, but then they get an inheritance. They get some big money. And there we go, completely different. They won't even give you $5. Before, when they had no money, they were sharing. Or they had a little house. And they get a big house, they get a big mansion. They get a beautiful car. And the same person who was trying to help you when they had their little clunker. Now they got a good car, a new car. And no time for you. Because that's really coming. And you won't have to go through that. Krishna arranged it to give you also the seat. Now, how much, to what degree you're going to claim the proprietorship? A renunciation is like that. The more you renounce genuinely, the more Krishna is going to give you. And if you're not keep in mind, constantly in mind, of thinking that it belongs to Krishna, then that renunciation, no gift, is going to choke you to death. Austerity, renunciation, it actually brings fame, distinction, adoration, money. Try it.
For your interest in the subject matter of this tape, please contact the Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology, P.O. Box 76451, Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C. 20012. The Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology presents a discourse with His Grace Swami Krishnapad, given at the House Blessing Ceremony, Washington, D.C., July 17, 1993, entitled Proper Gratitude Guarantees Constant Growth.
Everyone is trying so many things, going everywhere and everything except turning to Krishna. People are getting more into extracurricular life, more into intoxication, and it's alcohol or drugs, and of course, literally having more mental breakdowns. And it has a lot to do with people not being able to cope because there's such emptiness due to a lack of spiritual nourishment. So, this is a very short one. This is, Dear Lord, teach me how to be properly grateful. Sometimes we all have a problem in appreciating what Krishna has already arranged. Many times we're always thinking about what we want to do, what we don't have, what we should have, and such a spirit that it minimizes being able to use what you do have so that the Lord is pleased and arranges to complement. Because by what he explains, Krishna says he maintains what we have and carries whatever person is actually in lack of. So why is there so much lacking? Krishna says he maintains what someone has, why are people losing something? And if he carries what we're lacking, then why are we lacking it? You know, why are we wanting? Is God bluffing? Or is it that we don't connect properly to be able to maintain what we have and then to launch ahead with whatever areas we're lacking in? The Lord has made a promise. And he's made it very categorically and emphatically. So it's not that he's speaking this on the side. He's saying, well, perhaps I will maintain something for you. Perhaps what you're lacking, I will supply something. But he's saying very powerful that he will maintain what we have and will supply what is lacking. If in fact we believe it. Believe it means that we put ourselves in a position to be able to receive it. When mankind or humankind, when we make our plans are never as great and as powerful as Krishna's plan can be for ourselves. Not even to say for the world in general, for the many, many universes, but even for each individual. We have the tendency of thinking that unless we do particular things, that we're not going to get a particular result. And so what happens is that we do so much manipulation and angling that Krishna fulfills our desires based on our angling. It's not always the best thing for us. But when we try to serve the Lord more in the spirit of unconditional service, then whatever plan that Krishna will bring to the individual will be far super to whatever the individual, him or herself, could have arranged given the best of the facilities that they have. Do you understand? That we take the best of what we have available within our own grasp is nothing in contrast to what the Lord will arrange. We just kind of move out of the way. We're so much in the way trying to manipulate mature energy, thinking that Krishna is not quite there. But because of that, we actually take away from what is available. Just like a little child goes to the mother or father and requests, you know, 50 cents. And if Brandon is going to give the kids $10, $20, go shopping, go buy something. But the little girl is asking for 50 cents. With a particular thing in mind, what she wants, and is eager and intense about it, I want my 50 cents. So then, the parent gives the child $1 to the yoko. When in fact, you could have got much more. So we're proper, we get so much. Our headache, it becomes not how to try to get something, but the headache becomes how to be able to have a sense of priorities about what you have, or how to organize what you have. When there's proper spiritualness, proper spiritual foundation, it's never a matter of trying to necessarily acquire something. It becomes more a matter of how to manage, how to take care, how to develop, how to expand what you already have. So in your own life, individually, collectively, if it's so much about trying to get something, it's spiritual importance. Here we're talking about being grateful because so many things we already have, if we appreciate them sufficiently, they will automatically expand into something else. That appreciation is not a small thing. It's easy to use something to do things mechanically, easy to take something for granted, and it's easy to think, okay, Lord, that's all right, but I got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this for myself. And then, out of that, I'll find some way to do something for you. That's not so much different than materialism. Even materialists, they do everything for themselves. When they're in some crisis, then they call out to God. Even sometimes the atheists, they do everything for themselves, and then they have an accident, or something serious happens to them, they're, oh, Lord, help. Even though they don't even want to think about God. So we don't want to be, and also to be so foolish, or to think so small. The Lord knows what everybody needs, and has a plan to deal with our real needs, to speed us up, to draw us in. But it's a problem. The problem is that our working overtime and doing what we want, it doesn't come out the same way we did what Krishna wants, or what he's supposed to need. So it all starts out with first being grateful by what the Lord has already done. It's not that we have to think maybe God doesn't exist because if God really exists, then let God, you know, show us stuff. The Lord is already showing everything. So much that he's doing for the reason. We take so much for granted. Even such a simple thing as the sun coming up and the moon coming up. Nobody in any factory is like present for time now for the moon, for the moon. Things just happen. So many miracles. Seed is put in the ground, flower comes up, vegetable comes. Seed is put in the womb, within some 8 months, 9 months, baby comes out. So many miraculous things all the time. We drink some water, we take some food, we don't even think about it. And what happens? It's digested. Huh? All of these things showing that somebody's in control, making something unusual happen. What is already happening unusual around us, anything wrong with us thinking and being ready for other unusual things to happen? It's not blind faith. Something is always there, part of our everyday experience. So this is called, Dear Lord, teach me how to be properly grateful. We're sufficiently grateful. Watch out, there's more and more wonderful things will take place. And we're not grateful, then also watch out, because more things will be taken away. My dear Lord, Nityananda, I've been trying to thank you for your causes, mercy. But I'm so dull and ungrateful. It is because of you that I am chanting the holy names of God. As I look back at my life, I know I have no qualification to utter daily the sacred names of God. You know, it takes a lot of sukriti, and a gyan sukriti, a lot of credit from previous lifetimes to come to the platform to be regularly chanting the names of the Lord. So some of you even have trouble chanting because your credit is a little weak. You can build it up just by putting more attentiveness to the process. Just like you're a sportsman, you may not be so good at certain events, but you were put out to do that event. Now, if you practice sufficiently, you can come up to that standard. So just to be able to be chanting the Lord's name is a great boon upon the new entity who is involved in such. And such person has a lot to be grateful for, that they can be involved in such culture of devotion, of calling on God's name, the name of Krishna's name, attracting the Lord. You become much more active in that person's life. And the Lord allowing himself to become active by how he is given. Just like, you know, some people want to contact you. And a few people you give your telephone number to. They can catch you, they can call straight in and hit you on the line. Most people you tell them, well, you know, maybe call you at work or something. But you may or may not entertain your call. So, devotee chanting the Lord's name is arranged by the Lord. The Lord has arranged to some means to give you his confidential line. And say, okay, use it now. I'm available. You can reach me in this way. In a confidential mind. Take advantage of it. With the same cause of mercy you have given me to chant japa every day, please extend it to teach me how to be properly grateful. Now look in your own mind and think, and the day go on, how much are you expressing gratitude or how much are you expressing want and anxiety and frustration and feelings due to certain, you know, bereftment. How much are you doing it? Take it and monitor it sometimes. Write down what you think, what you say during the day, what you do during the day, during the week. Get off the lazy platform, right? Take notice of things and see where you need to work on more or what you're really, your conscience is really about. Sometimes we don't realize what our conscience is about. That you bring certain problems in our life. Because we have a theoretical conception about ourselves, but we don't take notice of what we think and what we say, and what we're experiencing, each day. What our wants are, what kind of a demands that we are having internally or externally. Just look at that. That will help us to know why we're stuck in something. Why we are unhappy, even sometimes why we're even sick. Because all kind of thoughts have a counterpart on the physical body. Basically, sickness is mostly mental. The mental pattern then affecting the physical. There are even certain types of personality types that get cancer. Certain things happen usually around the time that most people get cancer. Sickle cell, pneumonia, this disease, that disease. All corresponding to the mental state. So there are also certain mental states that free a person from certain problems. There's a certain kind of mental state that frees you from certain fears. Certain type of mindset that frees you from doubt. Certain types of mindsets that feed you from sexual agitation. Certain types of mindsets that feed you from greed. All kinds of things. There's a certain type of mindset connects you with a particular problem or particular disease. It is pretty powerful, even though it's trite. that as a man thinketh, so he be. As you speak, or what you think about, be what you are. So write down what you think about. You'll see what basically kind of person that you are. Take notice. If you're not happy what you see in a day and a week, work on changing. In order to change, you have to know what you need to change first. Otherwise, it's too speculative. Take notice of what things you need to work on, what things you need to change, and then go for those things to make a difference. So why do you keep the same kind of baggage? Do we say same garbage? You know, lifetime after lifetime. But it starts with first being grateful. And that allows you to draw a line of demarcation about what you have. And then you start using what you have to draw what you need. Rather than thinking about what you want, or what didn't happen, or what should have happened, or what could have happened, what the Lord should have done, and asking why the Lord didn't do, why the Lord didn't give you money, He gave other people who don't even worship Him money. Why the Lord didn't give you children, didn't give you a husband, didn't give you a wife, and people don't even want children, they have some issues. People don't even want a man or woman, and they have a husband or wife. Why the Lord didn't give you a big house? If you had a house, would you do something nicer than most people? And so if you think about all those things, and you complain like that, that's part of the reason why the Lord didn't give it to you. Because you're always thinking the Lord owes you something. So, He said, I'm showing you that He doesn't owe you anything. And He's not giving you very much. Because you're thinking that you deserve it. So there's a way of being, of playing God, a way of minimizing God, by even thinking that we're so deserving, we're so holy. And the Spirit of thinking we're so holy, and now the Lord owes us one. Because we prayed to Him, we meditated, we fasted, we did this, we did that. Now the Lord, He owes us something. As if it is a great honor for the Lord to receive our association. Thank you, Lord, in Christianity. You know, I've blessed you by giving you some attention, by giving you my association. I did this juggling, I did this austerity, I did this prayer, I did this good deed. So now that you have received my help, my care, my attention, because I don't normally give it. My everything about me is very valuable, so I've extended myself. Now you owe me something. So no wonder the Lord doesn't fulfill. If we do things in that spirit, then that's really minimizing the awness of God, or the greatness of God. It's another way of playing God ourselves. Because we're putting ourselves really as a sinner, and we're really still serving the Lord for something, and we're actually thinking that the Lord, you know, should be honored to be able to get some prayer from us, or for us to do something for the Lord. But then what are we really doing it for? For ourselves. Not even for ourselves, because not for the atma, not for the soul. We're doing it for our crazy mind. My Lord, it is not that you are the original spiritual master. The scriptures declare that by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna, and by the mercy of Krishna, one gets food. Say that every single day. What does it really mean? Those like myself can never get Krishna because we have no qualifications to get Guru. So in order to get Krishna, we have to get Guru, and Guru will get Krishna. But did it take qualifications to get Guru? Well, we get Guru, but do we understand Guru? All these things are a matter of being grateful that then ignites the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. You, however, have been so kind, you have allowed me to contact a first-class guru. It is divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. with this same cause as mercy. It's not just a matter of mercy, it's called this, what's the difference? Mercy means with grace. It means care, it means, you know, a show of magnanimity. But causeless means that it's beyond what one is worthy of. Causeless means it's beyond normality. Not just normal. Not just an everyday on average affair. When we talk about the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of God, we're really talking about causeless mercy. Because despite some of our own attachments and incoherences, the Lord's mercy still comes through if we allow it. It comes through more than proportion to our receptivity. But if we're not constantly grateful, then the Lord's mercy will not be drawn, will not be attracted. So one, it's great mercy to be able to be chanting always the holy name of the Lord. We shouldn't be doing it mechanically or grudgingly or just fixing it in according to the end of the day, because we just have to do this because, you know, we made a pledge. If we do have to do it at the end of the day, we should be in anxiety thinking, oh, when will that time come upon me when I can just call on the Lord by His confidential number? Having calls, like somebody you like to talk with. So you're in anxiety. The day is almost gone. You haven't called that person yet. You're thinking, waiting for a chance to call the person. Once you call, you feel good. You're talking to the person. There's some communication going on. There's an upliftment. So every time we call on Krishna, it should be like that. But all hell is going around us. But you call that dear one, you feel better, huh? Everything is going wrong in the house. You're cooking, you burnt your food, you're trying to clean, you don't have everything you need. You have more stuff to clean than you realize. You're trying to do this, do that. You weren't able to do it properly. So many things. And you call someone, and it's like a breath of fresh air hitting from the person. And just by talking to them, they help you to get balanced. You feel less disturbed. Let's scatter. What does it say about calling on the Lord? When all around us, all hell is going on. All things are out of control. How much more important it is to call on the Lord, especially in such times. But if we're connecting with the Lord, but then wondering why He's slow in doing what we already asked Him to do before, without looking to see about ourselves, have we changed? We want the Lord to do His stuff. But what about us? You, however, have been so kind. Allow me to contact first person. Now, that was causeless mercy. With that same causeless mercy, you've already shown you can give out causeless mercy. The Lord's already shown. So we know, you got the causeless mercy, Lord. It's like somebody, you know, has been doing something before, and you know that they can do it. You call upon them again, and they say, well, I don't know, but you know they can do it because you've already done it. Well, there's enough proof of Krishna showing what amazing things that He does. We don't have to have blind faith or weak faith. So the Lord has already shown what is accessible, what is possible. So therefore, we ask, with that same causeless mercy that you gave to me, to accept Him, please extend it to teach me how to be properly grateful. Number three, my dear Lord, Nityananda, and this is sometimes it's explained that you cannot get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is considered the original guru and is most merciful. So we're talking about mercy and causeless mercy and being grateful. So who other is more appropriate to make the appeal to than the most grateful, merciful, original spiritual master? Mighty Lord Nityananda, it is by your love that you have always sent first class association. I am a fifth class devotee. Would never be able to qualify to associate with pure devotees. You've seen how sick I was, have arranged to send me specialists every time to deal with very serious diseases. Just as sometimes sickness is there. The normal doctor has trouble trying to evaluate it. And a person has to go to a specialist, someone who has seemingly some extra expertise in that area to analyze the particular problem with the attention to solving that particular problem. So when the disease is very intense, then there's a need for more intense help and aid. So the disease that the entity has is very, very intense. The false ego is very thick. The attachment to the mundane is very, very, very chronic. So it cannot be solved with just general practitioners. It's by a general process of religiosity. It doesn't go deep enough to make a serious change of consciousness that's necessary. When you got a big problem, you have to attack it in a big way, not just some patch of attempt. So the problems that we have, in many cases, they've been trailing us for many, many lifetimes. And we can't just have some little simple solution, some aspirin, some band-aid, deal with a chronic disease. So many of the techniques of general spirituality, of general religiosity, just like a band-aid, just some quick adjustment that doesn't really deal with the symptom of the disease, inside the real core of the disease, there's only with some symptoms. So you have arranged specialists, and the Lord will send the Lord again. Maintains what we have and carries what we lack. So the disease is very intense, and you want that disease eradicated, the Lord will send you specialists, will send you high-level associations to go deeper and get those things done. But if you don't want some of those subtle weeds, if you don't want some of those attachments taken away, the Lord will send you a general practitioner who will give you a feel, give you a this and that until you come back. Business as usual. And Jesus, that's what they want. They don't want you to hear how to work on themselves. They don't want you to hear about the intensity of their disease. There's some people who are very sick, but they don't want you to hear that they're sick. But first, they avoid going to the doctor. They pretend like everything is okay until they get so chronic that they can barely function. Then they have to go to the doctor, and then the problem is so great, sometimes it's beyond rectification. Or they go, and you get advice about what to do, but then they're lazy about taking care of themselves, and then they just gradually deteriorate more and more until their body is beyond repair. They just literally die off. So Krishna is not lying. He said to maintain what we have and carry what we lack. So if there's a need for a specialist, you will connect it. Sometimes people say, well, where's my higher association? Or, where, you know, as soon as ready to Google, we're here. You know, where's the Google? Where's this? Where's that? According to what you need, the Lord will arrange. So if you're getting something that seemingly is not making you happy, then again, you have to take a closer look at the inventory of what do you think about during the day most of the time? What do you think about during the week most of the time? You're mainly thinking about what you don't have, why you don't have, why you're suffering, why you say it, why this person did that, why someone didn't arrange this, why someone didn't arrange that. You get more of the same thing. Change those thoughts. First, embarrass yourself to see how much you think like that. Write it down. If you don't want to write it down, put it in the tape recorder. Right now I'm thinking like this. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And I just started, I was thinking that I don't like anybody. Nobody in this, nobody in this house cares about me. I don't care about them. They're smiling at me, they're pretending, not pretending even more. Down. What you really think? You think? I was asked to do this, and I just felt like shouting, saying, "What? Do it yourself!" Just how it's coming across in your mind. And then later, play it back, and you'll see what you're following for you. You'll be your biggest teacher. Like sometimes devotees chant really bad rounds. They don't realize how bad they're chanting around. One day they chant and listen to themselves on a tape recorder. Everybody can from time to time listen to yourself chanting japa on a tape recorder. And you hear yourself saying, "Krishna, Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare." You're all kind of things. Other than the actual one. You listen to yourself. Or the real one, you hear yourself, Hare. You go for a while. Krishna, Krishna. We'll be shocked. Sometimes we have a recorder when we're chanting, we'll be shocked to see how we're chanting. So, we need to listen to ourselves sometimes. Some of the thoughts are going through the mind, going through the thoughts. Put it on or write it down. And then put it aside for a day and go back and look at it. And see what's really going on. Huh? In the inner world there. That later manifests, you know. You're thinking, this person doesn't like me. Why did he say that to me? Why did he say this to me? You're looking at everybody thinking, I could enjoy him. I could enjoy her. Oh, I could enjoy him better. I could enjoy him. Huh? Look at the mind. Most of you got little small tape recorders, huh? You're curious. Oh, I was thinking like a looking for that one. I'm glad back out of the week time. You'd be shocked to see. Within a few hours, one day time. Put those in the mind. Huh? You see somebody walking down, you think, what? I can make him a better wife than that woman. What did he see in her? Huh? And what it is going through is what now we are carrying with us. We're carrying all that stuff. And then we sit and see the deity, we sit down and chant, we wonder why we don't feel happy. We read something, we wonder why we don't have a revelation about it. Because you got all those other things dominant, forefront in the economy. And then we say, Krishna, help me. How are you going to get through all that stuff? Huh? Putting a ball in the block. Like you're saying, Krishna, help me. And you slam another door. You close another door. He says, come on, help, come on, help me. Somebody help me, save me. And he's closing doors and putting locks on. Come on, somebody come in. Get me out of here. And you lock again. You lock again. Lock. Where's the Lord? How will the Lord be kind to me? I mean, doesn't he know? Doesn't he realize how much I'm worthy? Didn't he take notice of how many times I called his name? What is he waiting for? Maybe he has favors. Maybe that's what it is. God has favors. We have to find the secret, huh? How to bribe him. He has favors here. In the sense of Bhakti Vatsalya, those who are real bhaktas, then they are taking away so much of the stuff. So they experience the Lord now. But first, they honestly deal with their situation. They honestly take notice where their own faults are. They honestly are disgusted by all of the ambiguities in their life. They honestly are bothered by anything that distracts them from being able to be more devoted, from being able to serve others more. They actually feel pain that they cannot serve others more. That's a devotee. Not someone who avoids, not someone who does grudging, will actually feel pain that they cannot be able to sacrifice inconvenience themselves. Here's, not that this Jew would help somebody, but they feel pain that they cannot inconvenience themselves to help somebody else. Look at your tape recorder and see how much you think. Listen to yourself, don't you? Most cases, you don't think this way. We are our own greatest enemy. Enemy is not out there. Enemy is not forces of oppression, elites, this, that. Criminals, that, all these things. No, yeah. Enemy is right here. Inside, your mind, all this stuff. The enemy is all the senses out of control. That's the enemy. Let me go for it. See what's going on. My dear Lord, every day I read and I hear about the most amazing pastime. Every day we read something. Oh, here's the most amazing pastime about the divine couple. I do not understand such pastimes, nor am I qualified to hear about them or even to speak about them. You have, however, seen how eager I am to hear and speak nonsense. So you are gradually replacing my desire to hear and discuss mundane things with hearing and speaking about the Lord. And when you're speaking more about spiritual phenomena and about the pastimes of the Lord, his devotees, you don't have time to engage in gossip. You don't have time even to hear somebody else's gossip. Even if it's not coming from you, you don't even have time to hear somebody else. Somebody started some gossip, he's like, you just immediately want to turn off of it. Huh? It's like noise to the ears. Isn't that, you know, the microphone is out of, it's not working proper, makes this strange sound? Yeah. Or some people like, they really scared when somebody's like, you know, scratching on glass, or scratching on the ground, Well, messages that are not about glorifying the Lord, Krishna Katha, should come like noise to the consciousness, to the ears. And immediately, you hear the microphone going a little strange, immediately it's like, fix it. Put the mic away. Immediately, when that kind of sound vibrations in the atmosphere, the conscience should immediately realize, this is poisonous. This is unnatural. This is dangerous. Immediately, one checks out such conversation. Either let the person know, don't come bringing that kind of stuff to me. Because if people bring something to you and me, that's something about how they think about you. Somebody who wants to gossip to you all the time, it means it's how they think about you. Somebody who keeps bringing up negative things to you, means it's how they think about you. They think that you will entertain stuff, so therefore they bring such to you. Which means that they don't think very much about you. Someone who you think is great, would you bring small matters to them? Would you bring so many negative things to them? You feel out of place. You feel another conversation. But someone who you feel, that's the level that they're on, the level of your relationship, you immediately go, yeah, and guess what he did today, guess what she did today, guess what about this, about that, you know. That means that's how the person is seeing you, and how you're seeing somebody else. Because the kind of conversation you have with someone says a lot about the particular relationship or the particular involvement that you and that person have or what you share. Somebody who you have great respect for, you would try to share something wonderful with them and receive something wonderful from them. Even though it's important to you, you may give it to somebody with duty. So, don't be somebody's garbage collector. Huh? Because my man, I can dump the garbage on. Huh? Be the person fool. You have value about yourself, and others have value about you. And people are trying to connect with you about something higher, trying to give you something higher, trying to get something higher from you, trying to share something higher. Don't be the person that, when you come around, you remind people of the garbage, so they dump the garbage on you. Take this. Garbage man's coming, he's telling you where to go. You see the garbage? You run around and make sure you get all the garbage on you, take it. Make sure you get all the garbage. Go away with the garbage. But hearing about the pastime of the Lord and engaging and thinking about, I say in mind about how to glorify the Lord and serve Him. And that is high level association. So every day we read about the most amazing pastime of the divine couple. We do not understand these pastimes, nor we qualify to hear about them or to speak about them. But you have hardly seen how eager we are to talk about nonsense, but you've given us a chance to replace some of that nonsense. So you're gradually replacing my desire to hear and discuss mundane things with hearing and speaking about the Lord. With that same call to mercy, you've already shown it. So now we're asking for it, for you to extend it. It's already there. We know it's there. You've already shown it. Now we're just asking, extend it more, or let me connect more with it. You have given to allow me to hear about the divine couple. Now please extend it to teach me how to properly to be grateful. Number 5. My dear Lord, it is now that you have given me so many disciples. I'm telling you to write. So if I tell you to write, then I'm a hypocrite if I don't write also. Right? They qualify to emphasize, especially for the renounciates. They should write their realizations. Writing is the big madanga, like you're playing the drum, sending out the sound, the vibration. So I'm asking you to write in your written quarters, to speak and write some things down, so that you make yourself accountable to you. You're not accountable to you, you're not going to be accountable to anybody else. Sometimes our body's not accountable to anybody. They do things haphazardly, whimsically, because they're not accountable to themselves. They don't care about themselves sufficiently. They don't know themselves sufficiently. So therefore, how can they be accountable when they don't know what even they have to be responsible about? They don't know the field of activity that they're supposed to be dealing with, overseeing, trying to grow with, trying to maintain. So it will be an inherent weakness. We don't have a sense of better understanding about what we feel, what we are, what we really are thinking about, what really our priorities are. You know what your priorities are? Then after you go through a week of that,